Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It's the Search Update.
Eric Bieniemy interviewed yesterday. Matt Eberflus interviewed as well. Leslie Frazier, throw him in the mix. Don't know how much more searching there's going to be. Texans got to have some sort of idea who they're going to hire. There's only so many guys on the market. They've spoken to most of them that we can think of. So,
have they not spoken to anyone that's kind of considered?
No.
Not really, right?
I think they're pretty well set in that area. So the search is continuing. Right now we're just playing the waiting game, and we're wondering if Deshaun Watson is going to be on board with what happens with the Houston Texans. He just tweeted about patience and praying and all that type of stuff. It's a future lyric. So another day, more drama here in H-Town. Let's go around the effing NFL now.
Let's go around the NFL to keep you in the loop. Brought to you by BioCleanTex.com on Sports Radio 610.
Nick Caserio has an opportunity to fix one of the biggest problems the Texans have had for the better part of the last decade, the running back position. Let's just go through the history of the running back position with the Houston Texans. 2015, Alfred Blue led the Texans in rushing with 698 yards.
We are familiar.
Alfred F.M. Blue led the team in rushing in 2015. He lingered around for the next few years. And in 2016... they signed Lamar Miller to a four-year, $26 million contract with $14 million guaranteed. They failed to maximize Lamar Miller. They gave him that money, and they did not maximize Lamar Miller. I think Lamar did everything he could do behind the offensive line that was poorly coached by Mike Devlin and being used like Earl Campbell. But that was a wasted asset. Those were wasted assets thrown at Lamar Miller. Let's go to 2017.
Okay.
The Houston Texans use a third-round pick on Deontay Foreman. Looked good at times. Had two touchdowns against the Arizona Cardinals. However, he tore his Achilles. He missed the 2018 season. 2019, he was cut. Another wasted asset at the running back position. 2019, Duke Johnson, acquired by the Houston Texans via trade, a third-round pick for Duke Johnson.
Yeah.
He has a career low in receptions in 2019. Breaks that record in 2020. Another wasted asset when it comes to the running back position for the Houston Texans. Oh, by the way, 2020, DeAndre Hopkins traded for a second-round pick.
That's a no, by the way.
And David Johnson acquired, also known as the Enron back, another wasted asset and misevaluation of the running back position. This should not be that hard to get a quality running back in town, especially when you're using money like you did with Lamar Miller, draft picks like you did with Deontay Foreman and Duke Johnson, and you're trading DeAndre Hopkins for a guy.
I mean,
you should have some production at running back.
Carlos Hyde was one of the better moves, and that was one of those guys that you're talking about. If you just evaluate well or get lucky in this case, because I don't know how good an evaluator B.O.B. really was. Doesn't look like he was that good. You can get guys. You can get guys to play that position. I think Duke Johnson's big problem is they didn't know, not only, I think they evaluated him right, they just didn't know how to use him. And still don't.
Texans used a second round pick on Ross Blacklock this year.
Mm-hmm.
Running backs that were selected in that round after Ross Blacklock: Jonathan Taylor of the Indianapolis Colts,
that's
a key piece of their playoff run. Cam Akers of the Los Angeles Rams, a guy who helped carry the Rams into the postseason. J.K. Dobbins, big part of what Baltimore is going to try to do in the future. And A.J. Dillon of the Green Bay Packers, who was getting carries over the weekend in the divisional round.
Yeah.
On the free agent market this year, listen to these names of running backs: Aaron Jones, Chris Carson, Philip Lindsay, James Conner, Kenyon Drake, Todd Gurley, Marlon Mack, James White, and Leonard Fournette.
That's a squad. I mean, that's some talent right there.
There's no excuse to not have solid production at the running back position for the Houston Texans. They have been more reckless with assets when it comes to running backs than any team that I can remember. It's a borderline joke how bad the running back position has been here in Houston, especially when you consider everything that they put into it.
It is. I mean, you go back to Alfred Blue, it seems like ages ago now, but he was so overused for the amount of talent that he had. I mean, credit to him for trying and having the occasion.
Almost felt sorry for
him.
That's
what I mean. They're trying to make him into a featured back. I mean, at various points. You can go down the list of bad things and bad evaluations that Bill O'Brien did. That's not even the worst of them. That's just one of them. You know, but running back is the consistent threat. Has no clue what to do.
His evaluation of running backs was pathetic. You got to hope that Nick Caserio, who drafted Sony Michel, who acquired James White, who had Rex Burkhead going in and out. You got to hope that Nick Caserio knows what to do at the running back position and can figure this out. Because it's not that difficult. If you have trouble doing that, you can't do a damn thing. That should have been where we knew that Bill O'Brien was clueless. Because if you can't get quality running backs in, especially when you're trading third-round picks and DeAndre Hopkins and using third-round picks, and you can't get production, that's when you know this guy has no business overseeing the personnel department of an organization. That's pathetic.
And I think the worst thing they do at the running back position is overpay. You can get running backs at a good price. You know, it'll be millions, but it's not going to be, you know, David Johnson money. You know, they just overpay. They give bad contracts to running backs.
Mark Ingram also on the market. He's going to be released by the Baltimore Ravens next week. Let's remember the best of Mark Ingram during his time with the Baltimore Ravens. This is Heisman Trophy winner, Baltimore Raven, New Orleans Saint running back Mark Ingram. After Lamar Jackson's MVP season, they were getting the post-game interview, and Mark Ingram just took over for Aaron Andrews.
When someone suggested I give you the mic and you ask a question, you want to go ahead?
Freaky L, a.k.a. Action Jackson, a.k.a. Era A Apparel. Listen, my dog. Hey, Judo, hit him. Hey, crank. All right, L. Man, you broke Mike Vick's rushing record, man. You the AFC North champions for the second year in a row. How it feel, man? Tell me how it feel, L. Freaky.
It feel good, but you know, we got a lot of season left to play, and we got two more banners to hang up.
So you're telling me the story unwritten?
Unwritten right now.
Book unfinished?
Right.
Congratulations, brother, on breaking Mike's Vick record and being the GOAT, the MVP that you are.
Appreciate it, bro. Love you, bro.
Hey, man, Thursday Night Football in America, back to you in the studio.
Trust.
All right, bring him to Houston.
He's too old.
I like the idea of James Conner or Marlon Mack.
I like Marlon Mack. I like any of these guys. I like Leonard Fournette at this point. Did you see him catching the rock the other day?
No, and he's had a good year, but how much left? How much is left? Even though he's young, how old is he? 26?
He's 26 years old. Good Lord.
That might as well be 76.
How much you got left in the tank?
I mean, geez.
How much? He might as well be 76.
26.
I'm standing by my point. You know how I feel about running backs. You get more than 300 touches, 350 touches, four consecutive years, you go downhill.
I wonder if James White could be a guy. You know who's good with running backs? Eric Bieniemy.
Yes.
That's his specialty. Mm-hmm. He's a running back coach. He's very good with running backs. It would just be nice to get some production out of that position. It's been borderline laughable.
It's been laughable.
It's been really bad. Alfred Blue, again, led the team in rushing and lingered around forever. I've never seen someone get more run than Alfred Blue for no reason.
Lingerer, man.
Yeah, totally.
Lingerer.
He might be on the Lingerer Mount Rushmore of Houston Texans, Alfred Blue.
Oh, 100%. By the way, Fournette has about 2 years left of production. What? About 2 years, that's it.
This is 26.
I don't care. I've been proved right on this time after time after time. Why are you doubting me? You get 350 touches 4 years in a row, you go downhill. That's what every running back has done, every single one of them. There may be one or two that you could point out, well, what about so-and-so? Okay, whatever. Arian Foster, go back as far as you want. 350 touches 4 years in a row, it happens right there.
If the Texans would have just taken a running back in this draft, whether it was Taylor, whether it was Cam Akers, whether it was Dobbins, it would have been nice. I think it would have helped them this year, and I think it would have helped them moving forward. That's why, and I hope Nick Caserio subscribes to this, whenever we go to the draft and we approach the draft, there are certain guys you know about, but the one thing I say consistently is you play chess. You don't have to play checkers. You don't look at it as we need this guy this year. You look at it as we might need a running back very much in 2 years, so why not get the guy now so that he can contribute now, and then in 2 years we won't need a running back as much. I hope Nick Caserio is willing to play chess instead of checkers and not just draft Ross Blacklock because you think he's a defensive tackle. Speaking of Ross Blacklock, do you have hope for Ross Blacklock?
A little bit. Not as much as
I don't know, man. I don't know if I – sometimes guys struggle and a new coach comes in and he figures stuff out. But even the guys that struggle, sometimes you see them make plays and you're like, ah, that dude might have something.
You see what's there.
I'm worried about
Ross
Blacklock.
You're wondering about, is there anything really there?
I'm worried about Ross Blacklock.
I know there's something there with Grenard. There's something there. Now, I don't know if they can get it out of him, but
– but there's nothing with Blacklock?
I would say less, and that's why I have a slight...
It's a second-round pick.
I know. Yeah, he wouldn't be the first second-round pick that the Texans have
That's
the
DeAndre Hopkins trade right there, is the Imran back and Ross Blacklock.
Yeah, yeah. Not good. Hadn't been good. Not so far.
There's a lot of guys...
It's just in.
The defense, because you look at the defense, I think there's high hopes for Aminihu. I think Aminihu is going to do a good job. I think Aminihu is going to take the next step in year three. I think Aminihu is going to do a very solid job. Don't know what to think of Ross Blacklock. I think Zach Cunningham's going to be solid for a long time. No hope for Lonnie Johnson.
Really?
I don't think he gets it.
Really?
I don't think he gets it. I don't think Lonnie Johnson is a good corner. I don't think he's a good safety. I don't have much hope for Lonnie Johnson. I think Justin Reed takes the next step. I wouldn't be surprised. I want you to mark this.
Mm-hmm.
If Bradley Roby's gone.
Yeah, I'm not going to push back on that too much.
I wouldn't be shocked if Bradley Roby's gone.
I think it might have happened. It's a possibility, put it that way.
We thought that contract was good.
Mm-hmm.
I talked to someone who said he thinks that Bradley Roby's just a overpriced number two corner.
Because
I think we looked at it as this is the number one corner. And on the Texans, he is. And if he was a true number one corner, you'd feel good about it. And I thought he played well last year. But there's just too much other stuff with Bradley Roby. There was the one time where Romeo called him out and they didn't take him to the game. Apparently, he was getting mad with employees. Then he gets popped for the peds. I wouldn't be surprised if Bradley
Roby
was gone.
So he's not Easterby friendly, is what you're saying. Well,
I don't know. It's kind of scary, though, to think about the corners without him, though, with all that said. Trouble.
I mean, we've talked about that. You and I have argued about that. I've thought he's a solid cornerback, but he's not a number one. And if you're just solid and you have other issues, you could be out.
Well, it would be a nice year to have some draft picks to get some of these running backs. There's going to be some running backs for the taking in that second round
Chuba
area.
Hubbard.
For the taking. Hubbard, Etienne, there's a lot of good running backs out there. Mm-hmm. Lots. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you here on Houston Sports Leader Sports Radio 610. Coming up, that Bieniemy BDE. Is this what we have to look forward to or not? Next.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
Eric Bieniemy is interviewed. How about that Bieniemy BDE? Could he work with Cal McNair? I don't know, but I do think he is what this city needs. They need an alpha. They need a guy that's going to go up there and win the pep rally. They need a guy that's going to go up there and be the anti-Easterby, the anti-Cal McNair. Here's a little taste of what you would get with Eric Bieniemy at a press conference. This was the start of the 2020 season. Texans taking on the Kansas City Chiefs. Eric Bieniemy starting off his press conference 2 days before kickoff. So fired up. So fired up. Eric Bieniemy, who interviewed with the Texans yesterday.
All right. Good afternoon, everyone. Hope all is well with everybody. We've had a lot taking place this weekend. We're finalizing our roster. Now, after doing that, I thought Veach and his staff did a hell of a job working with our coaches, also making the right decisions to help us moving forward. And here we are standing today. Excuse my language. We're a couple of days away from kickoff. Man, that slipped. You have to delete that.
That word you said right at the start, we've heard you say that a few times on the practice field, so don't feel bad.
Adam, you're ruining my reputation.
Bieniemy fired up, and he's also the anti-Bill O'Brien. You talk about a culture change. Do you really want a culture change, or are you just saying that? Here's Eric Bieniemy responding to Bill O'Brien and all the excuses. It got old. Bill O'Brien, fake accountability at its finest. Rookies don't know anything. We haven't had enough time to practice. Blah, 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 blah. Practice these nuts. Here's Eric Bieniemy.
Texans coach Bill O'Brien said while speaking to the Houston media that his team still has a long way to go as far as getting prepared to play on Thursday. I'm just wondering how much you believe in what he said. Curious is if you could give a percentage of how close you guys are to being ready for Thursday.
Well, I know what Coach O'Brien said, okay? And I'll say this. The thing that we just got to do is make sure our intensity, that we're mentally and physically prepared to go out and do the things that we prepared ourselves to do. So regardless, all the coaching speak don't mean anything. When that whistle kicks off, you know what I mean? It's time to go to work. Everybody wanted all the extra time to prepare to get to this point. But you know what? We're a couple of days away. Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter. He wasn't saying, doesn't matter, Brian. We won that AFC South Division title. It doesn't matter about these excuses. That
doesn't matter,
hard
Brian.
With the butt
AFC South champions 2 years in a row, Brian.
At NRG.
Two years
it doesn't
in
matter.
A row, mind you.
Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter what it looked like.
About the excuses. Doesn't matter. More from Eric Bieniemy on running backs not getting reps. You got to stay ready. You got to stay ready. You got to be ready to go. Ain't no moping around here. We don't mope. On Eric Bieniemy's watch. Here is Eric Bieniemy, who interviewed with the Texans yesterday, talking about running backs adapting that next man up mentality.
Well, one thing you expect from all your players, you expect them to remain professional. And in this industry, you can't worry about the things you cannot control. The only thing that you can continue to control are the things that you can. Now, understanding that when those guys are getting reps in practice, they got to maximize those opportunities. The unfortunate thing, and I knock on wood when I say this, injuries happen. But the thing that I always harp to these guys is to understand that you are always interviewing and always making sure that you're preparing yourself to be the starter when called upon. Unfortunate, this is the tough part about this business. And understand it, I've been there. I've been there as a player, so I understand. So it's important that they define their value each and every day.
That is a cliche with expansion. That ain't going up there and talking about complimentary football. That is a cliche that is actually expanded on. What the hell does that mean? What does Game of Inches mean? What does next man up mean? What does that mean? Eric Bieniemy will let you know if he's the next coach of the Houston Texans. But what about being satisfied? What about eating the cheese, as King Bill once said? Kansas City Chiefs, damn good football team. Breaking news here on Sports Radio 610. And sometimes it looks really easy for the Kansas City Chiefs. In the middle of a winning streak, Eric Bieniemy was asked, about potentially eating the cheese. You guys are kicking ass. How do you get these players' attention, Coach?
Does present challenges because we didn't execute as well on offense when it came to third down. We got to be more efficient. We have to move the chains. Now, that obviously starts with us here as a coaching staff. And so we've taken a look at it. We've addressed it. But now ownership falls on our players. And what does that mean? That means, hey, let's make sure that we're studying. Let's make sure that we're out there executing exactly what we need to execute. On top of that, when there's longer situations, let's make sure we're getting the proper route depth. Let's make sure we're getting the proper calls up front to protect the quarterback. And then when given an opportunity, we just got to let it go and make sure that we're getting the ball to the right particular people.
Okay, there's some expansion. There's substance here with Eric Bieniemy. But the question is, does Cal McNair truly want a culture change? Does he truly want to excite the fan base? That is the question that needs to be answered. And when you hear Cal McNair talk about the Texans culture and a culture that's been questioned by everybody that turns on a microphone here at Sports Radio 610, it's been questioned by a lot of loopholes. Shout out to the loopholes. If you listen, you are a loophole. It's been questioned by a lot of people who work their ass off to go tailgate at NRG and watch this team play. A lot of people who spend their Sundays and they rush home from church so that they can make it for the noon kickoff and watch the Houston Texans play. Mm-hmm. It's been questioned by J.J. Watts, who is the best player in the history of this franchise. It's been questioned, the culture, by Andre Johnson, who's probably the second best player to ever play for this franchise. And it's been questioned by Deshaun Watson, who, as we sit right now, his status with the Houston Texans is uncertain. The culture's been questioned by everyone, but Cal McNair appears to want the culture to remain the same.
As we look forward, it's important for me to remind everyone who the Houston Texans are as an organization. Our culture has been repeatedly under question, so let me clear that up for all of you right now. We are an organization committed to excellence, both on and off the field. We operate with integrity, character, a winning mentality, and a strong sense of community. We believe you can't go wrong by doing what's right, and ask our fans to trust that we know what's right. In everything we do, we are an organization committed to bringing a championship to the city of Houston.
All right, so you covered a lot there from Eric Bieniemy and how he's conducted himself and handled himself and his responses to the culture. They don't quite seem to line up, do they? You know, what how Eric Bieniemy talks and acts and is very, very much, you know, there's no secrets with him. You know, he'll tell you exactly what he thinks and thinks about you. To Cal McNair talking about this culture, which really doesn't seem as if it's going to be any different, even though JJ and Deshaun talk specifically about culture. So it seems very oil and water, you know, in terms of what Cal wants and what Bieniemy is.
Seems like Cal doesn't want anything to change. Seems like he's proud of what they got going. That's what I heard there.
And what Bieniemy is. It takes me back to, can Nick Caserio be the fixer here, be the fall guy, and say it's all on me, I brought him in, and he handle that side and handle, with PR's help, how Eric Bieniemy, you know, portrays himself. Because all this stuff about Eric Bieniemy's past is like way in the past. It's overblown. You don't care, I don't care, but do the McNairs care? I said this earlier, and I do believe this. If Eric Bieniemy was a player, he's not the kind of player the McNairs would sign.
Okay.
So would he? I mean, you don't disagree with that, right? I mean, by and large. I mean,
it's
there have been a few exceptions.
I think it's unfair, but I think it's fair.
Assessment.
It's a fair assessment, but yeah. I think it's an unfair outlook by the McNairs.
Totally agree. If Eric Bieniemy was a player, he's not the kind of player that the McNairs would want to sign.
What are they trying to do?
I know. But I'm getting somewhere.
Faith, family, football.
Well, I'm getting somewhere else, too. On this, so just bear with me one more minute.
I'm here.
All right. So if number one, if Nick Caserio can be that filter between the two, maybe it can work. Here's the second thing. I'm not Cal McNair's best friend.
You're not,
by any stretch. I've been around him a long time at various events. I've smoked cigars with Cal McNair. I mean,
expensive, I'm sure.
Well, yeah. Fortunately, I wasn't buying them. Bad and bullshit. I like Cal. I don't know him. You know, like I said, we're not boys. But I know this. That doesn't sound like the Cal that I've been around. You know what I think is maybe going on? And this happens. Is he trying to be his dad? In, you know, publicly? Rather than just be himself? Because he's not dumb. He's not like, I mean, he might be overwhelmed because he's not ready for the job and wasn't ready for the job, but that's neither here nor there on this point. I think he's like trying to put on a front that's just not him. He's not being himself. I think if he was himself, he'd be a little more candid. He wouldn't sound as rigid. Some people think he might have been reading that, which is fine, but he wouldn't have sounded as rigid as that was. I wish he would just be more himself and try not to be his dad. I really feel that's my assessment after kind of absorbing all this.
Okay, so you think
he's trying to be something he's not.
It's encouraging.
Yeah.
It's encouraging. Honestly.
It could be.
Because I think a lot of people don't like what they've seen. So that's encouraging. Kinda.
Yeah.
Landry Locker, John kinda. Lopez, Figgy Fig with you here on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610. I'm going to give you a culture quiz. A Houston Texans culture quiz, courtesy of what Cal McNair just said. And I'm also going to ask this question.
A culture quiz.
Culture quiz.
Okay.
And I'm also going to ask this question because I think it's something that we really need to look into. Does Jack Easterby deserve even more blame than we initially thought for the position the Texans and Deshaun Watson are currently in? Next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
All right, sharpen your number two pencils. If you don't have a Scantron, come to the front of the room. I will provide you with one. Keep your eyes on your own paper. One desk between you. It is time for the In the Loop Houston Texans Culture Quiz. I'm your professor, Landry Locker.
I thought you said Culture Club.
Quiz.
I'm a big fan of Culture Club.
I don't even know what that means.
Here
what
we
is
go,
Culture
baby.
Club?
Culture Club, an 80s legend.
All right, cut that off, Figgy.
What? This is a legendary song.
Cut that off.
I thought you said Culture Club, so this is a culture quiz.
Yeah, this is terrible.
This is awesome.
This is bad. There's some good 80s music. That is not it.
You shut your mouth when
there's
you're talking
some
to me.
Really good 80s music. That is definitely not it.
That is a legendary song.
80s have the best movies. That song stinks right there.
We're going to run it back in a little bit. Listen, yes or no on Culture Club, 713-572-4610. Now, what's your culture quiz?
All right, get your flip phones out and go ahead and tell us how much you enjoy the Culture Club. I have a culture quiz. Before I provide the loopholes and the OG John Lopez with the culture quiz, I want to play what Cal McNair had to say in regards to the Texans culture two Fridays ago. And then I'm going to ask you, someone who's been here since the beginning,
mm-hmm.
the appropriate questions for the Texans culture quiz. Are
okay.
you ready?
I'm ready, man.
Take it away, Cal.
As we look forward, it's important for me to remind everyone who the Houston Texans are as an organization. Our culture has been repeatedly under question, so let me clear that up for all of you right now. We are an organization committed to excellence, both on and off the field. We operate with integrity, character, a winning mentality, and a strong sense of community. We believe you can't go wrong by doing what's right and ask our fans to trust that we know what's right. In everything we do, we are an organization committed to bringing a championship to the city of Houston.
So your question on that is what now?
I have four questions based on what Calhoun just said. Is his real name Calhoun?
I think it is. It's not, yeah.
I'll just call him Mr. McNair.
It's Daniel.
It is?
I think so, yeah.
I'll just be respectful and call him Mr. McNair. No disrespect. Going through what he just said,
mm-hmm.
he said it's important to let our fans know who the Houston Texans are. You covered the team since the very beginning.
Oh, putting me on the spot.
Who are the Houston Texans? Tell me.
That's a great question.
Who are they?
The Houston Texans are.
They're one of four teams that haven't been to the AFC Championship game. I know that. But who are the Houston Texans? If I asked you to describe them.
Dude, I'm going with my gut. Your first instinct, right?
Bring it.
That's usually what you should do if you're really going to be honest. The Houston Texans are an organization that values their reputation.
Okay.
has been a winning team, but not a championship team. They value reputation. Winning team, not a championship team.
Okay.
Faith, family, football.
Well, based on that, Cal McNair said they strive for excellence. Based on what you just said, OG, it's the Texans culture quiz. Would you define that as excellence?
No. Okay. Not even close.
Okay. So no excellence.
No excellence.
Character.
Mm-hmm.
Integrity is something that Cal McNair said the Houston Texans were about. Do you think that when people look at the Houston Texans right now as an organization,
mm-hmm.
they think character and integrity?
I actually do. I think over the years, the Texans, say what you will, but they have been.
I'm talking about right now.
No, I know. I'm getting there. I think they have been a team that has had a lot of high character people, performed with a lot of integrity on and off the field. Right now, I think it's the same two things, character and integrity, but they strike you differently.
Who's Cal's right-hand man?
Exactly. His right-hand man is Jack Easterby.
Right, let me ask you this.
No, I'm saying they hit you differently. Like, not real character, not real integrity, but con man character and con man integrity.
So would you describe Jack Easterby as a guy having character and integrity?
When it's convenient.
Okay. Trust. That was the final thing that Cal mentioned.
Yikes.
Trust us. I want our fans to trust us. Again, you've been here since the beginning. You are a man of the people.
Mm-hmm.
John Lopez, despite the fact that you got some bougie-ass tendencies, you are a man of the people. Do you feel like people in this city, loopholes, shout out to the loopholes, if you listen, you're a loophole, trust the Houston Texans?
Right now, I couldn't trust the Texans to tie their own shoes. All due respect, it's a completely dysfunctional organization. I don't trust them to get that right, even if they did the bunny ears. I don't think they could tie their own shoes right now collectively.
I still do the bunny ears, by the way.
Get out of town.
Really? I can't loop, swoop, and pull. I can't. Can't.
Figgy?
Nah, I tie my shoes like a grown man.
You know
man.
Why? Because you're a grown-ass man.
It gets done, baby.
You do the bunny ears?
Yeah. It's like eating Chinese food with a fork. Some people might frown upon it, but my food's tasting the same as yours.
You eat Chinese food with a fork?
Why wouldn't I?
I do that.
Yeah, why wouldn't
you? I do that,
you?
Too.
Why wouldn't you?
Because you're being respectful to the process. Respect the process, Landry.
I'm just making stuff easier, okay? Just making stuff easier.
That's yeah, it. But yeah. You're not respecting
the
process.
If you got the fork, you don't use those little sticks, okay?
They're
make it easier.
The little sticks.
The little sticks. Chopsticks. No thank you.
I don't trust the Texans right now.
Got to go with the fork. Yeah, there you go.
Right, that's subject to change.
And that, I think the culture, I think Cal McNair needs to realize that what was once considered character, what was once considered striving for excellence and all those types of things, it's kind of changed. The world is kind of changing. So if you do truly want to change, Eric Bieniemy is your guy. If you don't, maybe you hire Leslie Frazier. My question is, how do you sell Leslie Frazier to this fan base?
You can't.
Well, honestly, if it's going to happen, and this is my request, because
mm-hmm.
I'm riding and dying with this Ish no matter what. I'm not one of these people that's going to burn my
of
stuff.
Of course.
This is my occupation. This is my job. This is the city I live in. I'm riding and dying. I'm covering the team. I'm going to give you everything I got. 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 610. I don't want Cal to sell me on Leslie Frazier. If Nick Caserio makes the decision mm-hmm. that he wants to hire Leslie Frazier, I want him to be the one to sell me. I want Nick Caserio to go up there and do it, because I don't think there's anything Cal McNair can say to sell anyone on Leslie Frazier.
There's a problem with that point, though.
Okay.
Nick Caserio could sell you on Leslie Frazier. If it's anyone other than Deshaun Watson or J.J. Watt, it's going to fall flat. And you know why? Because of how this whole mess started a year and a half ago or 2 years ago or whatever. Because Jack Easterby is still in that building. If you hire Leslie Frazier, and he could be a great, great addition. He could end up doing good things. It doesn't matter right now. If you hire Leslie Frazier over Eric Bieniemy or Matt Eberflus, what is this city going to do? Oh, hell. Jack Easterby's got his hands all over this again. It's gonna make Nick Caserio look bad. It's gonna make Nick Caserio look like Easterby's kind of pulling the puppet strings on him too.
You're a man of the people, but have you ever gone into a restaurant, a party, a room, and kind of felt, man, people don't want me here. I'm not wanted in this situation. I might need to just dip out. Mm-hmm. Have you ever felt that?
I think everybody has for some reason or another. Yeah, absolutely.
How does Jack Easterby not feel that?
Jack Easterby is the guy that walks into a room because he hears people talking and then everybody stops talking. So that's a sign, right? It's like,
Well, he says he's a people person.
Well, he does.
I'm a people person.
You know what people who say they're a people person also say? I'm a Christian. Look, I get it, and you are, but a lot of times when people have to tell you what they are, it's because they want you to believe it so bad. And you do it with deeds, not words. You know, whether you're a Christian, whether you're a people person, whether you're friendly or whether you're unfriendly, you do it how you act, not with what you say. So, yeah, Jack Easterby's that guy right now. People stop talking when he walks into a room.
The problem I have with where it feels like this organization is, and we've familiarized ourselves with dysfunctional organizations for a long time. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you. Deshaun Watson, by the way, says that he's been praying and being patient. He said it via future, but that's what I took away from it. Is that accurate, Fig?
Yeah.
Okay, mm-hmm. There we go. I go to Figgy for the future translation. Go figure.
Why'd you do that?
Race car! But my concern with Jack Easterby, and I think you could actually read it and kind of get a sense, he knows about this national perception to the point where he's blaming, according to SI, the New England Patriots for having an axe to grind for mm-hmm. some of the negative publicity. He seems pretty aware of it. Is that if you're going to be an unliked owner, you're going to be an unliked GM, you can't really worry about the message. That's when you really start making decisions that don't make a lot of sense. Like, if we do this, how are they going to react?
Right.
Spoiler alert. Nobody's ever going to like Jack Easterby here.
No, ever.
It's not going to happen. Like, no. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm not trying to be venomous. I'm not encouraging people to make you feel uncomfortable. I'm just telling you right now.
You're right.
Nobody is ever going to. And when I say nobody, I mean the majority of sports fans, the majority of Texans fans are not ever going to like Jack Easterby. So you just have to deal with it. Don't try to control the message. Don't try to think that all of a sudden something's going to happen and all of a sudden people are going to like you. If the Texans win the Super Bowl, and it could even happen at NRG. Let's say the Texans host the Super Bowl at NRG and they win a Super Bowl. If Jack Easterby's up there at the podium and he holds up that trophy, he's still getting booed.
He will get booed.
You will get booed no matter what. It's not going to happen. Nobody, the majority of people do not like you. And you've earned it. It's happened. Look, there is venom, there is blood. But the Texans could win the Super Bowl. Deshaun Watson could be the MVP. Cal McNair could be up there smiling.
Mm-hmm.
And Jack Easterby could grab that trophy and hoist it. The majority of Texans fans are going to boo you. Yeah. That's where it is. That's where we're at. I'm sorry.
Well, that's
where we are.
That's a message. That tells you that he should not be here. If he's that bad and that disliked, why is he here? We've had this discussion ad nauseum. But I'm saying that's the best illustration. They could win a Super Bowl. Everybody's getting their turn on the stage, and he would get booed. He would absolutely get booed.
100%.
Yeah.
100%. And the problem is, if he were a general manager, then I could say, well, he's valuable. There's a lot of valuable guys that are disliked that get booed. Jerry Jones probably get booed. There'd be some guys that get booed. He's not that guy. What is this?
This is Culture Club. That's what we're talking about. This is Boy George. By the way, I'm getting a lot of support online and on the text board and on my bat phone here. This is a legendary 80s song.
Okay.
We're talking Culture Club, so I thought it was appropriate.
No, I get it. This is just not a good song.
It's a great song. Sean Pendergast says he hates you now because you cut it off. I did that for you, Sean.
Wait, what's this chorus? I might know this chorus.
You know it. Ready? All together now. Waiting for the hook. Waiting for the hook. There you go. Figure you know this, right?
Yeah. Once I heard the hook.
I feel like there's another song that says come and go that's not this one.
No, this is it, man. This is it. That's what it's all about. This is the Texans theme song, Culture Club.
This video look weird.
That would make Jack Easterby Boy George. You know what? I think there's something about Boy George he may not like. Just a hunch that there's something about Boy George that Jack Easterby may not like.
What is that?
Well, look at a picture of Boy George. You'll find out.
Check it out. I'm going to have to peep that out. Shout out to Boy George.
Legendary.
And the Culture Club. Deshaun Watson to New York. The Jets. They got the second overall pick. They got multiple first-round picks the next 2 years. WFAN out there. Craig Carton. Congrats on him getting back on the air with Evan Roberts. They were talking about the possibility of Deshaun Watson, who, by the way, is in New York. He was watching James Harden continue to mash as a skinny member of the Brooklyn Nets. This is what they're talking about when it comes to your quarterback.
I would be in on Deshaun Watson as far as I can go. I don't know if there's a trade package you can come up with or any caller can come up with that I would say no to. Bring him in. Listen, and the Dolphins should be doing the same thing.
I hate the fact that it's playing out the way it's playing out, where it looks like he's holding a team hostage. If the New York Jets are listening, and I know that they are, I know that Deshaun Watson was in New York. I told you that on Friday.
Yes, yes.
And it trickled out over the weekend. My main man, Deshaun Watson's in town. I reached out or connected my tweet to the marketing agent. And I said, go get Deshaun Watson. He's in New York right now. The agent liked the tweet.
So that means Deshaun Watson's coming to the Jets. That confirms it.
That means I'm about to unearth. And
get it on. Get me Deshaun.
We will do our part to try to get Deshaun Watson here.
Justin Reed has tweeted, by the way, about Deshaun Watson's latest tweet, latest future lyric. Pro Football Talk put out a message that says Deshaun Watson posts a new message on Twitter suggesting that there may be a chance for the Texans to change his mind. Justin Reed said, not everything is a subtweet. Relax.
He's right. 100% right. And that's why I kind of feel, and you were talking about this earlier, you know, Deshaun Watson, we all get what you're saying. It's not an accident. It's not just, you know, quoting some lyrics that you happen to be listening to. You're sending a message. We know it. We get it. He may as well get to the point where he actually says what he wants to say rather than quote some lyrics. You know?
That would probably be good, but I don't know if that's what his camp wants. I think his camp smells blood. His camp smells blood. The problem is, trading Deshaun Watson does not eliminate your problems. You trade Antonio Brown when he's disgruntled and pissed off, that solves your problems. Right. I mean, not that solve them. You still need a receiver, but the distractions are gone.
Right.
And you're a respected franchise like the Pittsburgh Steelers, so there you go. You go about your business. You trade Deshaun Watson, the problems you have right now only magnify. They only magnify. David Mulugeta had $1 billion in contracts last year. That's a lot, I would say. I would say
a billion's good, right?
A billion's pretty good, I would say. Mulugeta's trying to establish an empire, and they're taking the leverage. And the other thing, this is the thing that I don't think we've given enough attention to. We're talking about Jack Easterby. Reggie Bush just tweeted out. Reggie Bush, Heisman Trophy winner, now an analyst, said that Deshaun Watson's agent deserves a lot of credit for getting what 99% of NFL players would want, which is power. He says, props to his agent for getting that contract. The contract was negotiated by Jack F. and Easterby. Okay?
Let me just speak generally before we get into those types
Jack Easterby,
of specific.
Which, by the way, Joel Corey's going to join us tomorrow at 10:15. And he says it's rare to have a no-trade clause.
I've been saying it for 2 days.
You've been saying it too, John.
I've been saying it for 2 days.
I'm not trying to look past you. But I'm just saying, Jack Easterby, as a guy who Cal McNair apologized for allowing to be an interim GM before he even became the interim GM. Jack Easterby was trusted with negotiating the contract of Deshaun F. and Watson. And here we are, and you have athletes, fans, media types praising the contract that Deshaun Watson got to get leverage, and Jack Easterby's the one that freaking negotiated it.
I saw it last week, and I had no idea.
Why am I getting fired up the final minute of a show?
I love it. I love it. That's 4 solid hours by Landry Locker right there.
Negotiated the freaking contract.
I saw it last week, and I was like, wait a minute. And if he has a no-trade clause? NFL players, you guys have to understand, NFL players don't get no-trade clauses. This was a brilliant move, but it was also a sign. It was a sign that he wasn't altogether down with the regime here. That includes Jack Easterby.
Look at the contracts this guy negotiated. Chris Olsen gone after the Whitney Merciless. Randall Cobb, Eric Murray, Kyemi Fairbairn, and now this Deshaun Watson deal. The Tunsil deal doesn't even look that great. No. Shout out to the Loopholes. If you listen, you are a loophole. Tomorrow, Joel Corey is going to join the show, as well as Stanford Route for his weekly visit. For the OG John Lopez, for Figgy Fig being the best in the world at what he do, I'm Landry Locker. This has been another edition of In the Loop. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 10. But in the meantime, Clint Sterner and Ron Hughley are next.
Thank you, Figgy.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.